Amen.
And then, well, we do thank you guys for your kindness toward us, you know, our family. We're always blessed by your prayers. We're blessed by your welcomes. Financially, we're blessed by going out to eat. We're blessed by playing miniature golf. Everybody else took a nap. We went out there and endured the heat, but if I tell you, it was a good time being out there. So part of what me and my family do is wherever we travel, we find mini golf. Yep. And we go and play. It's just part of something that we've done as a family. We also go around and we look for, you know, war museums and stuff like that, because you see me shake that military man's hand, but I wasn't always a military type person. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stand America.
Wow.
I hated America. I hate what it stood for. And after I got saved, God changed that in me.
Amen.
And so now I go out of my way to thank our American soldiers. I thank those guys that have those hats on. And when I stand up there and put my hand over the heart, because on my heart I got tears in my eyes, because I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be born in America. You see, God doesn't just change the big things. He wants to change all things in a person.
Yeah.
What it says, he changes all things. And so God kind of changed that in me right away. And I realized quickly how blessed I was to be living here in our country. I know it's crazy and everything else, but boy, I'm telling you what, there's crazier countries out there to be living in. Okay, and so we're just thankful and blessed for what God has given us. And those men and women put their lives out there on that line. I'm so thankful for that. And so a little bit about the ministry is, most of you know, we work in a jail and prison ministry. We go and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are in jail and prisons across the United States. But we are based, or going to be based, in Rochester, New York. We believe that the Lord's going to have us move to Rochester, New York. Because being out there is going to enable me to be able to, when those men come home, like you and your husband do, go and pick them up.
Man.
Right now, I'm so far away, I can't pick them up. They slip through my fingers. Mm-hmm. I can't get them established in the church. I can't work with them. And so being out there in Rochester, New York, will give me that ability to be able to go out there and be able to face, get those men and get them right into a church, right involved into a church.
Man.
I work with a bunch of pastors in the area who I've made friends with, who I trust,
Amen.
Who I trust to send these men to, okay?
Amen.
It's not just about the church people trusting them, but me trusting church people, okay?
Amen.
Because, look, they need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and some men can be hard. I was a hard case, okay? And I thank God that my pastor didn't listen to the people in the area.
Yeah.
Who told them, watch out for Dale and Amy. All they want to do is scam you. They just want you for money, and they want you for food.
Yeah.
Because that's what me and my wife did.
Yeah.
We made people feel sorry for us.
Yeah.
And so he didn't listen to that. And I thank God he allowed us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in that church. We ended up becoming saved. And so kind of what we do is that. So moving up to Rochester, New York, I went for a meeting on the 17th. This is my second meeting with the administration in the jail, the sheriff, under sheriff, and so on down. And them guys are really pushing for me. What they're trying to push me in is a contract. Okay. What does that contract mean? That means I have no obligations to the sheriff's office except for me coming in doing what I'm doing right now. That contract can be avoided at any time, and I still remain with my independence. Mm-hmm. What that does is gives me more opportunity, openness to the jail. We'll be able to go work with the women. Okay, my wife will come in with me, and we'll be able to go and minister to those women now, because right now they have nobody. They're just up there. They're hanging there. So this will give me opportunity to go work with the men, women. I'll be able to work with the families and such. And that also gives me more opportunities to be able to work with the families, because that's what the sheriff wants.
Man.
He wants me involved in the people's lives that are in there, their families and such.
Amen.
Because one day these guys are coming home. Mm-hmm. And if we can teach them how to transition one with another. You know, man can't wait to get home.
Yeah.
And then within 48 hours, most of the time it falls apart because neither of them know how to transition with each other.
Mm.
And so we want to get in there, and we want to have that family already established in the church, or at least us in their home doing a Bible study. We do in-home Bible studies.
Nice.
To help these men, to help these women be able to come into a church, and then eventually I would have a man. I'd say, hey, brother, I'd like you to come to a Bible study with me.
Amen.
Hey, sister, I'd like you to come to a Bible study with me. And now what am I doing? I'm introducing you to those people.
Amen.
Because now what? You know what? That makes them more apt to come into church.
Sure.
Okay? And so those things here are so important. And so we're getting ready to write up our second proposal for them to bring that, to get the funds that we would need to write up that contract. if everything goes well, and this is what the Lord wants. Let me just say this, my friends. Just because it looks good does not mean it's God's will.
Right.
You pray for me, and you make sure it's God's will for my life. Otherwise, I'd destroy my family and my ministry.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
Just because it looks convenient doesn't mean it's God's will. I want it perfectly to be God's will.
Amen.
I want it perfectly to be what He wants. And if that's the case, it could start sometime in August when we come home from Maine. We leave for Maine July 7th or July 6th, and we come home around that same time. And as soon as I get off the road, 2 days later, I'm already preaching back here in New York and already getting ready to travel back to Kings Ferry, New York. And got a lot of pastors, fellowships, and stuff that I've been invited to. So it's not slowing down for us. Thank God for it. But sometimes it gets tiring. Today was a beautiful day to be able to do something as a family.
Man.
It was needed, okay?
Good.
So pray for us at Liberty Behind Bars. Pray that God's will be done.
Amen.
Now I just want to talk a little bit about our Father.
Man.
Not our physical fathers, but God.
Yeah.
Our Father in heaven. Now, you know, Pastor asked me a question. He said, how did you, somebody who didn't have a mom or didn't have a dad and you don't know what a husband was supposed to be like, how did you learn? I had to learn what a father was. How did I learn that? That Bible's sitting right there.
Well, that's good.
Look, and I'm telling you right now, learn how to be a husband.
How?
That Bible.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God showing me and teaching me.
Good preaching.
Having men that will come in and tell me what it is to be a man. Mm-hmm. Having men come in and tell me what it is to be a husband.
Amen.
That Bible, God showing me how you need to, listen, Dale, you need to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Mm-hmm. Why? What happens if I don't? My prayers are hindered. He don't hear them. Mm-hmm. You see, God holds me responsible for my wife. Oh. And the way I treat her, the way I talk to her, how did I learn those things right here? How did I learn about my father? You see, when I first got saved, all I thought of God was, all he wanted to do was punish me. He's just another cruel being. So all he wanted to do is make my life miserable. It's not.
No.
Go study it 8 times in your King James Bible. In the New Testament, Paul breaks it down, God and God the Father.
Yeah.
You see, because we have God who's holy, he's righteous,
yeah.
He's the lawmaker, but he's also God the Father, which means he takes us by the hand.
Yeah.
Though we don't understand, if you have children in here and you've had to make decisions for your children, brother, which you will do, mm-hmm. That child's not going to understand why you've made that decision. They're going to think you're out to hurt them.
Yeah.
But in your love, you know what's best for them.
That's right.
That's what God does to us.
Amen.
That's how we learn how. That's how we learn who God the Father is.
Amen.
Okay? By experiencing those things. And Paul goes in great lengths. Go do that study one time. I believe you'll enjoy doing the study on God and God the Father. And you'll see a distinct difference in how God handles your life.
Amen.
Okay? It will help you make decisions, brother,
amen,
differently because you understand, God is dealing with me as God right now. Oh, he's dealing with me as God the Father right now. And you'll see that. And you know what? I used to become very bitter with God because I always thought he wanted to punish me. But then I realized, no, he's making a decision for me that's for my best.
Amen.
And I need to grab his hand and trust him.
Amen.
Okay? It will help you look at things so differently.
Yeah.
That's what the King James Bible teaches us. I didn't learn that at Bible college, just so you know.
No.
Amen.
I learned that by sitting down and letting the Holy Ghost of God teach me, letting the men of God get up there and preach that Bible to me.
Amen.
God teach you. He'll teach you. He promises. So look at this. Turn with me real quick. We'll spend a few minutes in Jeremiah chapter 35. We'll talk a little bit about our Father in heaven, Jeremiah chapter 35. That won't keep us very long here. Jeremiah chapter 35. And I had a man tell me, he goes, why do you repeat so much? I had a guy actually come up to me and tell me, he goes, I could never figure out where you were because I couldn't hear. And so now I'd like to repeat my verses many times.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't ever want to do that to somebody.
No.
Had I known that, I would have had changed it, right? This is all learning to me.
Yeah.
Man. You know, I spent 40 years on this side and, 9.5 years. I think how long have I been preaching, eh? 6, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm still learning all this stuff and learning how to hear God's voice and so on. So look at what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 35. And we'll start in verse 5 and we'll read down through verse 10. And it says, and I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we drink no wine. You see, it sounds like God's being contradicting here, but you have to listen. You got to see the rest of the story. God's not being contradicting. He's about to make a point.
Amen.
Okay? He's going to teach them something, and he's going to look at, he's given it to them to give to us.
Yeah.
You see, these things were written for examples. These things were written for us, for our teachings.
Yeah.
God didn't just put them there so we can have a religious book to look at.
No.
Something that's going to, we can just use as a you know, a bookshelf, sitting on our bookshelf, collecting dust. That's not what God gave us the Bible for. Mm-mm. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. God gave us an instruction manual. But look what it says here for the Jonadab, the sons of Rachab, our father commanded us, saying, ye shall not drink, you shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Verse 7, neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you should dwell in the tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are strangers. Verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rachab, our father, and all that he had charged us, to drink no wine all of our days. We and our wives and our sons, and nor our daughters, verse 9, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither to have a vineyard, nor a field, nor a seed. Verse 10 says, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, had commanded us. You see, they were obedient to their father, and by being obedient to their father, they were being obedient to God, because the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother.
Amen. Amen.
They were listening to their father. Mm. But God was not happy with that. Mm. What did they do? God's about to point something out here.
Amen.
Though they were being obedient, though they were honoring their father and what he said, God's about to blow them up. Mm-hmm. He's about to show them, you've just stepped in your own righteousness.
Yeah.
Watch what it says here. Drop down to verse 13. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. It's a serious matter when God introduces himself that way. There is something he is not happy with. It says, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, we have not received the instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rachab, that he had commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. They're doing exactly what they're told to do.
Yeah.
Well, hang on. God's about to show them that they're trying to ride on their own righteousness. Mm-hmm. Look at what it says here. He says, that is performed. For unto this day they drink none, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. But here's what he says, but ye had hearkened not unto me. God gave them instructions, and they said to him, well, God, our father said that we can't do that. And God said, wait, I just gave you instructions.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, they've turned to listening to man over God.
Yeah.
And let me just say, traveling around today, traveling around in many churches, and I'm not saying that's going on here, but I'm just telling you this, traveling around in many churches, I see all day long where men are listening to what men have to say, and they're just getting rid of anything that God has to say anymore.
Well, that's good.
Well, the pastor said so. Well, did you double check that? Because last I understand, pastors can make mistakes.
Yeah.
Preachers, evangelists, missionaries can make mistakes.
You're right, brother.
God tells us to go out there and study to show ourselves to prove. That means when the preacher gets up here and preaches, and he's given verses, are we checking?
Amen.
Or are we just taking it at their word?
Yep.
Look, it can be done on total accident. It doesn't mean that the man's being up here trying to be deceitful.
Right.
But what if God was trying to show you something, and you just took for what that man said, and you missed it all?
Right.
Well, God, why haven't you answered my prayer? Well, I would have if you would have checked on what that man preached.
Yeah, amen.
If you would have heard what that man preached. And here's what it is. Here's what the Lord says. He says, and I have given you to you and your fathers. Verse 15, I have sent you all my servants and the prophets. You see, he sent people. He sent preachers. What's a preacher do? He tells you what the Bible says. He's a prophet. He's telling you what it's in the Bible. And he says, I've sent you all these people. And look what he says here. I have sent also to you my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way.
Amen.
God just called them being obedient to their father evil. Hmm. They've turned from God. Read down. You know what it says they did? They turned to idols.
Yep.
Because they became obedient to their dad and plugged their ears to what God had to say, they strayed from God.
Oh, boy.
Why? Because what became more important to them was their obedience to dad.
Yep.
And I watch it in churches across America.
Amen.
I watch people falter and fail because they listen. Now, it doesn't mean we can't listen to man. It doesn't mean that God didn't give us a man of God who can sit here, who's ordained to be that bishop, who's ordained to be that pastor, who's ordained to tell us and teach us things. But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Don't take what he says as what God says.
Yeah, amen.
It becomes a problem in God's eyes. You know what it does? It turns people from the true and living God.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Verse 16. No, let me go back up a little bit. Right before verse 16, he says, "But they and they go not after other gods and serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given unto you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear. You have not hearkened unto me." You know what incline your ear means? This is what it means to incline your ear. You want to hear what's being said.
Yes.
And then, because you have not inclined your ear to what God says, he says, you have not hearkened unto. You have not listened to a word. He said, okay, you all can hear the sound of my voice, but I can tell you this way. I guarantee you this right now. There's a lot of you who are hearing a second voice, and it's your own over me. All you hear is me. Wah, 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 wah. Just being not a hearers, but doers.
Yep.
If you're just a hearer, that means you're not listening. He said, there are two different words. How do you know when somebody's listening? They'll leave here differently than when I came in the church.
That's right, brother.
Otherwise, they're just being a hearer.
Yeah. It's very true.
They didn't listen to a word God said. They got up there and listened to the preacher, heard the preacher, and they heard, wah, 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 wah. And they leave church the same way they came in.
That's right.
Over and over and over. You know what God says? You have not inclined your ear to, you have not hearkened unto me.
Amen, brother.
I can't remember where it's at in the Bible where it says, well, I can't remember what book it's in, and forgive me for not knowing. But it says that you came to hear the man speak and not God. Mm. I hope that there weren't people here this morning and there are people here tonight who didn't come to hear the man speak.
Right. Amen.
But came to hear what God has to say.
Oh, that's the truth.
When we start coming in to hear what man has to speak, there's issues.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, God pointed it out one time. He points it out again all through that Bible. And I'm telling you right now, he's pointed it out tonight because there may be somebody in here who's trapped in this.
You're right, brother. Amen.
But this people hearken not unto me. Verse 17, therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Why is he going to do this? For them being obedient to their father. Because look what it says. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered.
Right.
And God is fed up with his people not listening, not hearkening up to him, not listening to what he has to say.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a good person. I come to church and I dress right and I pray and I read my Bible. Great, that's wonderful. But you know what that is called? Self-righteousness. I know people who are lost today, going to bust hell wide open, who do the same thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it doesn't change their life.
Nope.
You know how, look at, Paul talks about, where's my phone real quick, man? Where's my phone real quick? I don't want to misquote a verse. I have something because I pray spiritual sacrifices every day because God calls me a royal priesthood. Okay? And so I pray spiritual sacrifices every day. If anybody wants to know what they are, I can email them. But 1 Peter 2:5 says this, you also are lively stones and have built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. For what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We offer those spiritual sacrifices to God. So what is one of the spiritual sacrifices? It's to pray back what you learned that day. Well, what if I didn't learn anything? Then go back and learn something.
Yeah, amen.
Do not leave your prayer closet until you can pray something back to God of what you learned out of that Bible. What's that going to do? That's going to help you remember that.
Amen.
You may need that to face that day. You may need that. Something may come up in your life, and you will need that.
Amen.
But if it's not there,
yeah.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, amen, that I might not sin against thee.
Amen.
Okay? The problem here is people. It comes to a point where people take what men have to say over the things of God, over the word of God. They allow the commandments and traditions of men to take over the things that God commands. And in doing so, verse 15 says that they've turned. They've strayed from God. Look, it doesn't mean you physically have to turn from God. But you know what Jesus Christ convicts us? He tells us these things are what proceed out of the heart.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
That's not even a physical thing.
Yeah.
He's just telling us what's in our hearts.
That's right, brother.
You can stray from God. You can stray from God with idols in your heart. And those idols become the way we dress, the music, the prayers, the Bible reading. Those things become idols in our heart because we're doing them just to do them.
Yeah, amen.
And God is not happy with us doing those things just to do them.
That's right, brother.
Why else would I have needed Jesus Christ? Why else do I need this Bible? If it's only going to become an idol in my heart. Just something look at God, look what I do. Mm-hmm. They were obedient to their father. And God called them out in their heart. Mm-hmm. He said, you've turned.
Amen.
You've strayed. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in your heart. Mm-hmm. Romans 10:3 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If my righteousness could carry me anywhere, then I would have never needed Jesus Christ.
There you go. You got it. Right.
But it can't carry me anywhere. Why? It's his filthy rags. It's no good. That means I need him for every moment of my life.
Amen.
Then I get caught up. I get caught up in religion. And I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for playing the whore on you. I'm sorry for going out there and putting this idol of religion back into my heart.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen.
Forgive me for doing that, Lord. Help me to get back. Help me to return to my first love.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, the son honoreth his father. We've heard that all day long. We've heard it all day long how thank you fathers and men, rightfully so. If you're a father here and you're a dad here, thank God for you.
Amen.
But look what he says here. He says, a son honoreth his father in Malachi chapter 1. And a servant his master. And God is talking, he says, if I be a father, where is mine honor? Where's mine honor? God wants to know, listen, you're calling, oh, father, I need you. If I'm your father, where's my honor then?
All right.
Where's the honor you're going to show me like your dad?
Man.
Where's the honor you're going to show me like you do to your earthly father? You see, like many other religions, God does not expect us to die for him. He expects us to live for him.
Wow.
Because he already died for us.
Good.
He's our father. He's our heavenly father. And the way we honor our earthly fathers and not honor God, shameful.
That's right.
You know why? Because there's certain things you would not dare to pull in front of your earthly father, but you'll do it in your own home.
Good.
And God is watching.
Yes, he is.
What does my honor, God say?
Amen.
You call me a father, then where's my honor? And he goes on and he says this, and if I be the master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You've offered polluted bread upon my altar. Oh, I come to church, I dress right, I read, I pray. He says, you're offering polluted bread on my altar. You know why? Because you're doing it to do it.
Yeah.
It's become a religious duty in your life.
That's right.
I tell my kids this. I said, get rid of the have-tos and start getting the want-tos.
Amen.
When it comes to your relationship with God, get rid of, well, I have to do this, and I have to do that. Oh, no, get into I want to.
Amen.
It's a whole lot better on that side of the I want to. You know why? Because God doesn't see it as polluted bread. He doesn't think that you're coming up to the altar with polluted things because you have to do that.
That's right.
Oh, thank God for a merciful God.
Amen.
He says, "Where have I, and that you, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer blind sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee?"
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't dare bring your pastor something that's half used. You wouldn't dare bring your pastor something that you were going to throw in the garbage. You'd go, "Well, maybe my pastor would like this. You think he'd like that?" He wouldn't like it. And God says, "But that's what you do to me all the time. Maybe he'll like it. Maybe he would like it. Maybe he'd just have that heart and say, you know, thank you, I appreciate that. Go offer it to our governor. Go bring it to him. Go bring him some lame thing. Go bring him some lame thing with a lame heart. Your second best." God says, "That's what you're doing with me. I'm supposed to be your father.
Yeah.
But you're giving me second best."
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame for us to fall into a trap where we give our Heavenly Father second best. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12 says this. Go ahead and turn on there. Amos chapter 8. I'll take a sip of water. Amos chapter 8. Look at this. Why do we do that? He says, "Will it be pleased with thee? Or will we accept this person, save the Lord of hosts? You call me your father. Where's his honor?" Look at Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. And we'll start in Amos chapter 8. We'll start in verse 11. Look what it says here. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water," here it is, "but a hearing of the words of the Lord."
Wow.
Woo! I'm just telling you, today in Baptist churches across the United States of America, there is a famine of men and women hearing the word of God.
Right.
And if they do hear it, they don't like it.
Yeah.
That's reality. There's no love for the truth anymore. There's no love for the things of God. "Be holy, for I am holy. Yeah. Thus saith the Lord."
Amen.
It doesn't mean that just Dale Morris have to be holy. That means everybody in this room who is a born-again, saved person, God commands us to be holy.
Amen.
Why? He's holy. Can we do it without him? No, we cannot. But you know what? There's a famine in the land of the hearing of the word of God. Wow. You can't tell me that's not going on in America today.
Absolutely.
They don't want nothing to do with the word of God. Not a single one of them want anything to do. When I walk into that jail and prison, trust me, their guards go up. They just want somebody to come in and tickle their ear. Somebody to come in and make them feel good about themselves. Well, I'm not doing it. I refuse.
Amen.
I'm going to pick up this Bible, and I'm going to preach it to you, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
And I'm telling you now, they put up a fight. You ask my family when I come home. "Hi guys, I love you, but I have to go to bed. Can't even keep my eyes open driving home from the jail. Falling asleep, why? Because I'm spiritually beat up. I'm exhausted. I'm in there fighting the fight, man."
Yeah.
Look at, man, when you think of Liberty Behind Bars ministry, you think of me going in that jail and having to fight a dark warfare, because that's what it is in there. It's a spiritual battle to go in there.
You're right.
That's a shame. That right now as we speak, I am the only one who brings in anything King James. I am the only one who goes in there and preaches and teaches that. I am the only one that contacts them and contacts their family. I get hurt. I get told this all the time. "Hey, man, Dale, watch out for them guys. Don't get too close to them." I says, "Too bad, I already love them. I already love them.
Amen.
Therefore, I'm going to fight. You love your people. You fight for your people. You pray for them. Amen. You fast for them. I do the same thing for those men."
Amen.
Do the same thing. Why? Because they need it.
Amen.
Man, there's a hope out there named Jesus Christ, and they need to hear about that hope, that they can have a life.
Amen.
More than what they have. But I'll tell you what, right now, there's a price to pay. Most people get out of the ministry. Why? They ain't willing to pay that price. Well, guess what? We are, aren't we, family?
Amen.
We're willing to pay that price. It's hard. Not like we're sitting here with an S on our chest, like we're invincible and all that stuff. No, it tears us apart.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it tears us from limb to limb. But I know, when me and my wife got down on our hands and knees, Pastor, how long after we got saved, my love?
Like 6 months.
6 months after we got saved. Lord, we'll go wherever you send us. Whatever you want us to do. Don't, please, be careful when you pray that. Little did I know that God was going to send me back to jail or prison. Yeah. But that's the promise we made when we tried to run.
Right.
There was no running. There was no running. God was going to have it or have our life. You know, Paul talks about being a castaway, put on a shelf, worthless to God. And I didn't want to be that. Look what it says here, verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. So if they can't find it and we have it, that means we have to bring it to them.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
How else are they going to know? Look, there's 76 religious workers that go into the jail on it. And they don't care about them people's soul at all.
You.
They don't care about the families. Dale don't get close to them. I can't help myself. I can't help myself about coming home and crying for those men and hearing their stories. I let my wife read one of the men. They can email me on here, and I keep contact with them through snail mail. I keep contact with them through emails, and I go visit them face to face and whatever I can do. I just told my wife, read this about a retaliation hit that just got happened in Rochester, New York, where they walked up to a woman in her car because of another gang member, and they shot her dead in front of her kid sitting in a car. But that's reality, my friends. That's what I live with. These are the men that I go in there and love. These are the men that I go in there and I put blood, sweat, and tears into them. Maybe we can avoid a family like that.
Amen.
Maybe they don't have to happen again.
Amen.
Maybe Jesus Christ can get in that next person's heart and we can end it there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
But there's got to be a hearing of the Word of God. And if we can't bring it to them, look at all those people out there that have all the other versions and whatever else they're into. They live like they have the truth.
Right.
We claim that we have the truth, and we don't live like we have it.
Yeah, amen.
How is that? They didn't want to talk about frustration.
Amen. Amen.
I got 5 minutes. I want to share something. 1 Samuel 3, you don't have to turn there, but just let me read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, it says, and Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Here it seems like Samuel's ministering to the Lord. He's ministering to Eli, who was a priest. You think, man, he knows the Bible. He's ministering to the priest. He's ministering to Eli. But let's go on, look what it says here. And it says, and the word of the Lord in those days were precious.
Yes. Yeah, amen.
How precious is the Bible to you today, my friends?
Good, brother. Amen.
Because it's going. Mm-hmm. It's going. There's only a remnant left that are holding on to the Bible.
That's right.
Why? Because it's precious to them.
Amen.
And here it says, Samuel, it was precious in their days, and there was no open vision. Verse 2, and it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in this place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Here's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And it says, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple. If you know anything about your Bible, that light was never to go out.
That's right, man.
Here it is going out.
Oh, boy.
The lamp of God. The word of God is being put out. How many of us are going to stand up and let that become precious to us again? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to be like Eli, whose eyes were growing, he's become old, he can't fight it anymore. God's getting ready to remove judges, he's getting ready to put kings in place. And he's watched all this, and here he is laying, his eyes are getting dim, and it says, air. It says, look at, the lamp of God is getting ready to go out in the temple. Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid to sleep. that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, he says, here am I. And he ran unto Eli. Who just called him?
God.
Who did he run to?
Eli.
Man. Wait, verse 1 just said that he was ministering unto Eli the priest with the word of God. Because he was ministering what that priest taught him, not what God taught him. He did not recognize God's voice. He did not understand that God was calling him. And that's most people that are sitting in church today. They're hearing the voice of man, and they are not hearing the words of God.
That's good.
But look what happens here. He goes on and he says this, and he says a second time, and he ran unto Eli, and he said, here I am, for thou callest me. And he said, I called thee not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. In verse 6 says, and the Lord called him yet again, and Samuel, he said, again, Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli. And he said, here am I, thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Look at the next verse here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But in verse 1, he's ministering to the priest. What is he ministering? Those things that man taught him.
That's right.
But God's about to change that. Look what it goes on here and says, and I'm going to close with this. Verse 8, and he says, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli. And he said, here am I, thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Finally, the man of God woke up and understood, wait a minute. God is calling this young man. God is calling this young woman. You see, it takes a minister, a man of God, a priest, to be able to teach the people the voice of God. Today, the bishops have put that away, and all they want to do is for you to hear their voice. They're not teaching people how to hear God anymore. They're not teaching people how to listen to what God has to say anymore. And I'm telling you right here that Eli understood, my God, this is God calling this young man. I need to point him in the direction of God.
Amen.
Thank God we have men of God who still do such a thing.
Amen.
And look what happened. And then I'm going to close. He says, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called. As other times, he said, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. How about it, my friend? God's asking you tonight, are you hearing him? Are you honoring him?
Amen.
Is the word of God precious to you anymore? Are we just going to let it go out there and that's it no more? We're just going to be a famine even in churches who say they love Jesus? Even in churches who love the Bible? Is that it? Are we going to shut it off? Are we going to be like Eli who no longer can fight? He's laying down and the lamp of God is going out.
God help us.
God help us. Let your prayer be tonight that you fall back in love with the word of God that your Father has given us. Pastor, I'm done.